This Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. PCGS is the standard in the rare coin grading industry. To learn more, visit www.pcgs.com. What does the future hold for the 2016 Centennial Gold Coins issued by the U.S. Mint? That's the subject of this episode of the Coin Week podcast. In January of this year, CoinWeek contributor Louis Golino wrote that the Liberty Centennial gold coins will be, quote, without question, the major highlights of the United States Mint's numismatic offerings in 2016. Lou's statement certainly turned out to be true, and I say that despite the fact that 2016 also marked the 30th anniversary of the launch of the American Silver and Gold Eagle bullion coin programs, which are two programs that the United States Mint has shown a real willingness to mine in recent years. You'll recall the 20th and 25th anniversary sets. This year, however, the Mint has offered a real limp commemoration, edge lettering on the silver proof, and nothing to speak of with the gold coins. Pathetic. So that leaves the 2016 gold Centennial bullion coins, the Winged Liberty Dime, the Standing Liberty Quarter, and the Walking Liberty Half Dollars as the de facto winners of this year's U.S. Mint Numismatic Offerings Contest. What, you expected us to pick the Mark Twain Half Dollar? Please. So how will the 2016 Centennial Program play out for the next few years? Let's take it one coin at a time. The 2016 Gold Dime went on sale on April 21st. It had a product limit of 125,000 pieces. This was a maximum mintage established, not by law, but by the United States Mint. The dime was struck at the West Point Mint and carried the W Mint mark. I remember asking a U.S. Mint official at the World Mint's Directors Conference why the Mint didn't find a way to produce, or in air quotes produce, the dime at the Denver Mint. The look I got in return made it seem like I had made some crazy suggestion. Crazy like a fox, I say. But getting back to the actual coin, not the coin that should have been made, collector and industry interest was immediate, with nearly all the entire 125,000 coin allotment accounted for in the first day of release. Technically speaking, the coin did not sell out, but the Mint has not provided a satisfactory answer as to what will happen to the very slight remainder of coins unsold. One could speculate that some percentage of the struck mintage ultimately failed to meet the Mint's quality standards, and that it simply isn't worth the Mint's time and money to restrike replacements. But here's an idea for them if they do. Counterstamp a star on each of them, and issue the newly struck coins without fanfare. In fact, do that for every program that would sell out of its authorized mintage if there are quality issues that require replacement production. We have seen at CoinWeek a number of badly struck coins. None have full split bands, and others, well, they have problems. Check out CoinWeek's video on a major reverse strike through, provided to us for review by dealer Russ Augustin, to see one such example. Despite the grousing that the coin is not the right size or weight, or for some that the alterations to the design were too severe, a secondary market for the coin has developed, but it is slight, with recent eBay prices realized being within 10 to 15% of the original $210. These prices are for certified coins. SP70 coins bring a little bit more and are on the upper end of our 15% estimate. In the long term, this will be a popular coin. It has the novelty of a classic design struck off its traditional metal. At current pricing levels, it remains affordable, and the large available mintage allows for continuous promotion. And that's the key word here. The only thing that will provide numismatic value to coins like these is promotion. Because of this, expect to see a wide range of prices for this coin. Do your homework and exercise a degree of self-discipline, and you should do all right. The gold Standing Liberty Quarter went on sale on September 8th. The coin is not quite an exact re-rendering of sculptor Herman A. McNeil's design of 1916. While beautiful and iconic, the design was ultimately a failure, requiring a number of revisions before the Mint gladly abandoned it by adopting the commemorative Washington design of 1932 as the standard type for the denomination. As was the case with the gold dime not being struck on dime-sized planchets, the gold quarter was not struck on quarter-sized planchets. And while the gold dime essentially sold out in its first hour, the gold quarter has seen sales of only 78,000 pieces after a month and a half. The maximum mintage for this piece, as specified on the U.S. Mint's website, is set at 100,000. On eBay, specimen 70 prices for certified coins have realized an average between $550 and $560, or about 15% more than the $472 that the coin is currently available for on the U.S. Mint's website. The potential upside of this design lies with the fact that so many modern coin collectors do not own a Mint State Type 1 Standing Liberty Quarter. And the main reason for this is affordability. A common Type 1 Standing Liberty Quarter starts at about $400 to $450. And because of this, a lot of collectors are priced out of the coin. Unfortunately, the Gold Tribute version of 2016 costs even more. Again, this is a coin that will need heavy promotion, and we don't expect to see big returns on it anytime soon. The final coin of the series, the Walking Liberty Gold Half Dollar, will go on sale on November 17. If bullion prices stay at the current level, between $1,250 and $1,299, the coin will launch at a price of $890 and have a mintage limit of 70,000 pieces. Compare that to the issue price of the Gold Kennedy Half Dollar, which went on sale on August 5, 2014, when gold was $1,290 an ounce. That coin launched at $1,240, and after a short-lived and heavily manufactured bubble fell from several thousand dollars to its current price range of between $1,250 and $1,300. It's actually amazing that it's that high. As a three-coin commemoration, it seems that the Mint set out to offer collectors something they thought they wanted, in a metal composition that they were allowed to work with. Did the program go over as well as it could have? No, but again, we live in the world of what is, not what could have been. I would have liked to see the D-Mint marked use, and to see the coins in the proper size and weight. I'd have also liked to see the Mint and the Treasury start the process of untethering the Mint's numismatic division from congressional control. The global minting industry has moved on from this model, and the constraints the Mint has to deal with are choking, not growing, its business in the U.S. I'd also like to see the Mint use numismatists to work with the coin industry more directly, so that it can create programs that help grow the market, not take money out of the very businesses that it relies on to buy these products back when collectors grow tired of last year's Mint release. Rhett Jepson, if you're listening, you have my number.